This is Mark Steiner, and that was Daniel Dural Jr., better known as stage name Buckwheat Zydeco. This is a Zydeco weekend coming up at Common Ground on the Hill. He'll be playing here Saturday night, and C.J. Chenier is playing on Sunday. It's going to be just a jamming Zydeco weekend at the Common Ground on the Hill, which we'll be talking about coming up. I can't wait to see it. I love Buckwheat Zydeco. I love C.J. Chenier. Oh, good music. And we've done many shows in the past on Zydeco, one of the great American traditions here. Before we jump into all that, I want to remind you, support for WEAA is provided by Bosch, offering Bosch dishwashers at your local Bosch retailer. We are here with Common Ground on the Hill. They come here often. They come here every time they have their festival every year. It's an amazing organization that has brought together issues of people who are involved in social justice and in our communities around the country, and they also bring some incredible musicians to do workshops, teach, and perform every year about this time. It's happening right now. And the man who founded all of that is in the studio, Walt Michael, founder and executive director of Common Ground on the Hill, artist in residence at McDaniel College. And three of the other folks in our studio are doing workshops there now at Common Ground. I had the pleasure of having breakfast on Sunday morning with Shura Wallen, one of our guests here. She and Reverend Randy Mayer are Green Valley Samaritans on the border of Arizona and Mexico, and the work they do with undocumented people coming across the border. Very powerful stuff. We're going to hear their story in a few moments. They're in the studio. And Pablo Perugina, who is here with us, a musician from the border.
Thank you.
And good to have you here.
Thanks.
Good to have all of you here. Welcome.
Good to be here.
410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages or just tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. Let's take a step backwards before we get into this. I really can't wait to get into this conversation about what you all are doing on the border, because I think that's some critical work and amazing when I heard some of the stories Shura was telling the other morning. But first, Common Ground.
Yeah.
Give us your Common Ground spiel.
Okay, here's the, for those of you in the elevator, here's the speech. This weekend at the Carroll County Farm Museum, the Common Ground on the Hill Festival, and we have a Louisiana thing going with Buckwheat Zydeco, C.J. Chenier, Little Queenie.
Little Queenie, I forgot Little Queenie.
Little Queenie, the darling of New Orleans. And we're inaugurating the Common Ground on the Hill Beer and Wine Garden with microbrews and wine.
This is the first time, right?
First time. We find, you know, it only took 19 years, but here we are.
Finally let you have a glass of wine at Common Ground.
Yeah,
this is good.
Yeah.
So, another incentive to go.
Right. Four stages of music on a 70-acre beautiful farm setting.
This Saturday.
It's just, 20 miles off the Beltway. So
easy to get to.
Easy, really easy to get to.
And it's always a jam. The weather's going to be nice, and it's going to be music outside on the stage. And
yeah, I can't wait to hear Buckwheat again. He was with us 3 years ago, Stanley Dural, and he's had some health issues that he has overcome now, and he's going to be with us.
So who's getting your award this year?
The award this year is being given to Mike Baytop and Archie's Barbershop Heritage Foundation out of D.C., which is really sort of the parent group of acoustic blues in D.C., carrying on the tradition that, when the older bluesmen would come through D.C., that this is the place they would go, back in the 60s. And they've maintained that tradition throughout, and Mike is the guy who inherited the mantle of running the place. So it's really a salute to preserving tradition.
A lot of great people have gotten that award in the past.
Yeah, Pete Seeger, Odetta,
I remember that.
Etta Baker.
Richie Havens,
Ramblin' Jack Elliott. I mean, it's a long, long list.
Of good folks.
Yeah.
And folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. I want to welcome Shura Wallen, Randy Mayer, and Pablo Peregrine to the studio. Good to have you with us in Baltimore.
Thank you.
Let's just start. I remember when we met on Sunday, Shura, I asked you, when you moved from California to Arizona, this little town south of Tucson, and I asked you, did you go down there specifically to work with people who were coming across the border? You said no, but it's a world that enveloped you.
Yes.
Yes. I had, we moved from Berkeley, California in June of 2000. I was not a happy camper, to tell you the truth, leaving Berkeley and going to the area that we're in. I had absolutely no idea what I was going to be doing. I had run a food program for the homeless in Berkeley for 14 years. And I really, I knew there was a migration problem, but I had absolutely no idea the extent of that problem. And in 2001, I read an article in the paper about a group called Humane Borders that were putting recycled Coca-Cola tanks with 30-foot poles and blue flags on the desert to help save the lives of people coming across. And I thought, this is something that I can do. So I got involved with them. And then from there, went to work with the Tucson Samaritans that started in 2002, and always hoping, considering the fact that I had to be in Tucson at 4:30 in the morning to be part of these groups and the work that they were doing, I'd always hoped that maybe somewhere, somehow, we could get a group started in Green Valley, which is where I live. And that's 35 miles north of the border. Never in my wildest dreams imagining that this would come to pass. And in January of 2005, Randy Mayer, whom you will hear from in a few minutes, had a meeting of people who were interested in things going on in the border and a lot of opposition to helping people and so on and so forth. And a friend of mine from the Tucson Samaritans had put out a sign-in sheet and had taken a few things found on the desert. And at the end of the day, she called me up and she said, "You will not believe this, but you have a number of people in Green Valley that want to do this work." And so in basically in January of 2005, our group formed. Our first search for people who might be lost on the desert was February 5th, 2005. We now have 200 members. We are a retirement community, and the oldest member in our group who still goes on the desert looking for people is 86 years old.
And Randy Mayer, welcome to Baltimore.
Thank you.
Well, good to have you here. So you're one of the founders of this group, right?
Yes, I was.
So talk about it. First of all, Arizona is known, at least those who don't live there, as one of the most conservative states in the United States of America. And not very friendly when it comes to undocumented workers coming across the border. So talk a bit about where you came from and all this.
I moved to Arizona about 15 years ago, and my wife's from El Salvador, and we really moved to the border to be as close to the U.S.-Mexico border as possible.
You did that?
You
had a reason to do that.
We had a reason to do
that. What was
that
reason?
Well, the reason was my wife is a therapist, and she wanted to be closer and work with people that spoke Spanish, and I love Latin American culture, and so that was a lot of the reason. But as soon as we arrived, 1994 was the year that the free trade agreements were signed, and immediately after the free trade agreements were signed, people and our trade ministers knew this, our U.S. officials knew this, that there would be unprecedented immigration that would happen along the U.S.-Mexico border. And so immediately, people started crossing the border because their jobs were they were losing their jobs. The Mexican peso had been devalued in 1994, and there was an economic crisis that was happening throughout Latin America and Mexico. And so people started to cross, and, you know, by 1998, people were really Tucson became the push place, where the funnel where people were being pushed to cross the border. And so we began to find just literally thousands of people walking through our neighborhoods in our community. Mm-hmm. And as people of faith, what do you do when people are dying in your neighborhoods, when they're knocking on your door for food and water? You begin to try.
Let me stop you for a second. So what you're saying is when in your communities in the 1990s, that people fleeing, whether it's El Salvador, Guatemala, Southern Mexico, looking for work in a place. And I mean, I know part of the story in Mexico is that those policies you're talking about very specifically destroyed the cornfields and economic base. Farmers couldn't sell their corn anymore because they were buying cheap American corn. So farmers were forced off their land and pushed to find work. Mexico City and then the border and then into the United States, what we're talking about. And so what you're saying literally, and I want you to describe this in kind of more vivid detail for our listeners, because people don't hear it anywhere. You're talking about people walking through your communities, thirsty and starving. Talking about, because you know, people have visions. People have visions in their head. All the movies we have now of zombies walking through neighborhoods. You know, people have that vision in their heads. So I'm talking about what happened there.
Well, literally, people were walking across on the migrant trails. But a lot of those migrant trails, you know, were 35 miles up from the border. It's a 3-day walk. And, you know, so people would be walking. They'd start to become dehydrated. They, you know, had experienced the desert, which, you know, a lot of the people are coming from tropical areas. They're in this desolate desert where there's snakes and scorpions and cactus, and at walking at night, they're getting just beat up, and they're dehydrated. Yeah. So they're coming into our communities, and they're needing water, and they just need a friendly hand of assistance. And so that's how we began to find people. We first started putting water out with Humane Borders, but as we were putting water out, we also began to find people, and we began to give them food, water, and medical care. And at that time, we would actually many of them were in such bad shape that we would take them to the hospital. They needed the medical attention, and so that was the situation. And it wasn't just a few people. It was, you know, we were finding hundreds of people in a week's time. Mm-hmm. And it was absolute crisis. And there were also dead bodies. I mean, there were a lot of people that were perishing out there. And then they still are. And our policies are pushing people into even more difficult places. And the numbers are staying about the same. Fewer people are crossing, but the death numbers are still very high. They're all.
Have one of you ever come across somebody who's dead or dying in the desert?
Sure. Yes, three of my friends and I, three Samaritans, were on a search for people, and we pulled off the road. There's a road called Arivaca, and it goes to a very small town and on to a road that goes eventually leads to Mexico or north to Tucson, and we were looking for what is called a layup spot, where people have left a lot of items behind because they're being picked up, they're getting a ride or whatever, or they're tired or any number of reasons. And we did find a deceased individual. We estimated that he'd been dead probably 2 days because there was no odor, and we have a lot of vultures in our area, and there were no vultures to indicate that anyone or anything that was dead was there. And he was a gentleman of 64 years of age. He had worked in Atlanta for 18 years. I heard this from his son, whom I got in touch with, and he decided that he was too old to continue working, and he went back to his village, which was close to Mexico City, and he realized as soon as he got back that there was no way that he was going to be able to support himself, let alone his family. And so he decided to come back, and I asked his son if he knew whether or not he had come with a group or whether he'd come by himself, and he said he really didn't know. There was no sense of foul play, and it was a tragedy in and of itself, but even more so by the fact that he was an eighth of a mile from a road where he might have gotten help. And he died of exposure and coronary, and it was August of 2006 when we found him.
And Pablo, welcome to Studio Hill, Pablo Peregrino. And we've not met, so I want to hear more about your story. And
well, I was born in the border.
And let me get this mic, get close to the mic. Thanks. I'm going to hear you. Good, thank you, Pablo.
I was born in Nogales, Mexico, and at the age of 5, my dad immigrated us. In 61... Not that I'm that old, no. But in that year, it was $35 to submit your papers, and all you did, you got your immunizations, and you waited for your green card. And when I left Nogales, as first generation immigrant, I put up with a lot of the adjusting to the country, being discriminated because I didn't know English and so on. But then later on in 2004, when I realized that people were dying in the desert, when I was a kid, people would just jump the fence and go work with my dad, or you know, they'd work and then they'd walk back. But when I found out there was women and children dying, you know, I became just totally turned around and started with Humane Borders. And my first song that I wrote was called Water's My Religion. And then from there on, the second year, I made a commitment in front of 100 people that I was going to put out a CD based on border awareness. And through this CD, I have traveled parts of the country. I have two of my soundtracks on a soundtrack that, a movie called The Second Cooler, that documentary on, and Martin Sheen is a narrator. Second Cooler is because in the Tucson Pima Medical Examiner's Office, they had to build another building refrigerated for people who are not identified to give them a proper burial. And so my mission is that I'm in Tucson is to – I've joined all of the groups in order to get all of this under my skin. And I have also been for 12 years I've been a humanitarian. And, you know, people say it's an anniversary of our, 15th, but we don't call it anniversary. It's really our mission. I wish that there was no more.
You wish there was no mission.
No more deaths, yeah.
So, let me ask this question. When I hear one of your pieces, get ready to play a little bit for us before we go to break.
Sure.
But I'm curious what you said earlier, because I think there's a disconnect in America. You know, it's like we had a show yesterday, or the people will hear next week about the digital disconnect. People don't realize our history sometimes about how the government's actually subsidized private newspapers for 150 years in America to ensure that we had news, but people don't know that history. Just like people don't know the history you just said, and I want to go back to that.
Sure.
What you described, life as a kid, coming across the border with your family in the late 50s, early 60s.
Yes.
Right? A very different time. You described coming across the border, getting immunization, going to work, and you described people coming across the border to work and then going back home. There was a fluidity and naturalness about it you're describing.
Yes.
Talk about that for a minute. Is this something, because it's radically changed.
Well, in the border, there was a hole, El Hoyo, the hole. That's where everybody would go through to cross. And this is for you, and you can see the picture. This is Nogales, Sonora. Now it's militarized. And as a kid, I used to, from the Nogales, Arizona, I used to cross to buy tortillas and whatever. I would cross the border. I had a green card, but I just would say American citizen. That's how I felt that I was, American. And there was none of this border militarization. When there was a fire on the other side of the border, the fire department would go and help our neighbor. Nogales is called Ambos Nogales because Ambos means both. And during the Gadsden Purchase,
which is when America took that land over.
Yeah.
They
bought, but you know what? The signing was a gunpoint.
Right.
Nobody knows this.
Right.
They even asked Linda Ronstadt, where did you move here? When did you move here? We didn't move here. They moved the border on us. But as a child, it was just even the kids just adapting to this country. And so as I grew older in middle school and new kids were coming from fresh meat from the other side and they were being picked on, I knew how it was. So I started defending, stepping up to the plate for all of this. And I hope I'm not branching off on the topic. But
I think it was what's important when I asked that question, because I want people to get – hearing your story, you don't hear stories like yours very often on the radio anywhere.
Right.
Or in the media. And it's your personal story of what it meant to be an immigrant child at a time when immigration was very different than it is now, and people perceived it differently than they do now.
Immigration in this country has always been geared around the economic push-pull factors. And so, the border has always been fortified, or the Border Patrol was created during the Chinese Exclusion Act when they were trying to push the Chinese workers out. So, it's always been geared around the economic factors that have been happening in
right.
the United States.
Right. I think we don't – and I think this is important to understand in history. It's important to understand where we are at this moment, because I always harken back to stories about when my when my father's father first came to this country in 1904. It describes something more like what the Mexican-American border used to be, which is you came in, come off the boat, got stamped – and said, okay, come in, we got your name, now you're living in Baltimore, Maryland. Same thing, but that was a very simple process. Mm-hmm. And I think that the simplicity of the process has been lost with where we are now out of this kind of xenophobic fear we have of especially Latin American immigrants mm-hmm. or Spanish-speaking immigrants.
Yeah, and the scary part is that there now is this militarization of our border. And, you know, there's now over 21,000 Border Patrol agents on our southern border. That's an agent for every 250 feet, practically.
That's insane. And one of the things we'll just say here before we go to break, and to come back into Common Ground on the Hill, then we'll come back and hear one of Pablo's songs as soon as we come back from break. The only reason you're hearing this conversation today here on the Mark Steiner Show, folks living on the border of Arizona and Mexico, and working with migrants, people who are dying in the deserts, and people doing work to kind of change all that, is because Common Ground on the Hill, besides being a music festival, brings people like this to Baltimore, to our area, in the festival to have workshops, talk, so we can learn from one another and each other's struggles around the country, which is one of the most critical pieces I think you do. The music is great. I love the music we do at Common Ground on the Hill, but this is a huge piece of why you're here.
That's right. Well, you and I both remember the '60s, and how
I don't know.
And well, I don't remember them, but I think I was there. In the '60s, music was part and parcel of the movement, and
right.
and vice versa. And you know, as things wore on up into the '80s and that sort of thing, and things became more professional and all that sort of, I began to miss that. And I don't think you can have a more potent combination for peace and justice than combining good talk and programming about the issues that we face and music and art together, because they were always together. It was without the great songs of the civil rights movement, the movement wouldn't have moved.
When we come back from this break, we're going to hear the music of Pablo Peregrina. We're going to go out with a little Zydeco to take us to break and come back to our conversation with Common Ground on the Hill.
You keep telling me yes, but you don't mean it. You keep telling me no, and you try to lean it. You're giving me buts and maybe.
Yes, I love it. Stanley Doral Jr., Buckwheat Zydeco, one of the Zydeco kings in this country. I'm glad he's healing and doing better. He and C.J. Chenier and Little Queenie will be headlining this weekend. It'll be a Louisiana feel at Common Ground on the Hill. And tell us before we jump into this again, once again, Walt Michaels, how folks can get in to see this concert Saturday night.
Well, all you need to do is find...
And Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
And Friday.
Yeah, and Friday, yeah. Well, we have concerts all this week.
Right.
Blues Night is Thursday night at McDaniel College. Just show up at the college and you'll be fine. And at the Farm Museum, Carroll County Farm Museum, you can just come right up to the gate and get tickets there. It's a 70-acre facility, so we're not going to overmax it. But you can also go to commongroundonthehill.org. And purchase tickets or call us at 410-857-2771.
There we go. Pablo, tell us what you're about to sing and why.
I'm going to be singing a song called A Migrant Sufrimiento, A Migrant Suffering, and singing about people that are dying in the desert. There's a part on the that it's in Spanish, and it's the migrant that is asking God to spare his life, that he can't walk, he has blisters. I don't want to die. I feel like I'm crossing another border, but on the other side, death is waiting for me. So instead of the Border Patrol, he's dying and.
Sorrow with an eerie cry, the cry of many migrants that were left behind and died. Echoing through the canyons and through the desert air, the cry of their last dying words. And many of these words will never, ever be heard. And for those, the lucky ones, a haunting memory chips away inside their mind. Just to think they walked away and left someone behind, to know they'll die. Estoy adolorido con ampollas en mis pies. Ayúdame, Señor, que mi muerte se espere hasta después. Y yo siento que otra frontera estoy cruzando. Y en el otro lado, la muerte me está esperando. No quiero morir.
Thank you so much.
Gracias. Thank you.
De nada. That was amazing. Across the glass, everybody's applauding. You can't hear them on the air, but all the interns, engineers, producers over there are applauding, as we should. This was just a very beautiful, moving piece.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll hear a little bit more of this maybe before we end the half hour. Here we have it together. But I think that what the soulfulness of that song that comes out of the soul of Mexico and America together, the way you sang it, and it's the border. I think people don't get that there is your music feels it to me. It's that there's the border culture.
Thank you.
I mean, it's not like the Mexican culture. It's not American culture. It's its own.
It's the borderlands.
It's the borderlands.
We talk about the borderlands being 100 miles from each direction of the border is a distinct culture, distinct food, distinct language, distinct people. The culture is just absolutely vivid and diverse and incredibly powerful. And that's the pain that we feel right now, especially as the immigration bills go through Washington, is that everybody's throwing the border under the bus, that they're willing to sacrifice and militarize our border communities to completely destroy them in ways that we know will not make our community or our country safe. It's just an absolute waste of money.
Because these border cultures, and I'm going to hear Pablo and Short describe this as well, what you just described, Randy Mayer, is, you know, when you think about it, I mean, this is a border where all of Mexico came north, so all these Mexican cultures, and there are many of them, are like in the border, the Indian cultures, the black cultures that came from America running for freedom, and after the Civil War that ended up in the border areas, the white Anglo cultures in the border areas. I mean, this is this place of every hue.
It's considered ground zero, and also it's considered the second Birmingham.
What do you mean?
It's just because of the racial profiling that's happening there also. I mean, it just doesn't end there. Just because you cross a border doesn't mean that you haven't made. You have to deal with the man of many faces, the boss that discriminates you, deportation. There's a lot of racial profile that during the HB 1070 that was Governor Brewer, which the Latinos call La Bruja, and I wrote a song, and it's called Your Papers, you know, and it's basically the racial profile. And even though this law right now has been put, you know, aside, there's still racial profile in the south of Tucson. But activists, it's like the hunted being the haunted. Okay, you have the ICE looking for the racial profile, but then the activists document how many apprehensions are being hit in Tucson just because you have a busted headlight or whatever. So it's really ground zero.
Sure, do you want to add to this before we kind of move on here? But Marcin, I also want to talk about the common ground coming down to the borderlands, and want to let Walt talk about that. But
well, Pablo is absolutely right, and the issue of the racist quality of where we live is so visceral and so profound that it is very difficult to describe. And I always talk to people about their use of language. It's very easy to say illegal alien. And what does that imply? First of all, no human being is illegal, and the person who coined that was Elie Wiesel, concentration camp survivor. And when you say alien, what does that conjure up for you? Someone coming out of the sky with a huge head trying to take over. So I always encourage people to say undocumented individual economic refugee, because that is exactly what they are. And I have heard and been around people in our community who are so incredibly racist that it's very hard to swallow, and it's really hard to know what to do. And sometimes I know that things are said in front of me, and I'm sure in front of Randy and people, because they know what we do, and they're so opposed to what we're doing. I mean, we're trying to save lives. Doesn't matter whose life it is. We're trying to save lives.
And before we come back to Pablo to hear a bit more, maybe you'll play the song you just described, whatever song you'll describe it, whatever you want to play. But talk about Common Ground on the Hill is going to the border.
That's right. And, you know, Randy, in the great tradition of clergy who do the work, you know, who do the work of the people, has this wonderful church.
The abolition movement, the civil rights movement, it was the ministers who had guts and hearts that stood up first.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And Randy is made of that cloth, and his church, the Church of the Good Shepherd, there in just
South,
yeah, Say that again. So they
Sahuarita.
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 Yeah. It's an amazing church. He has all these folks that look like a lot of us sitting around this table, you know, with the, you know, the salt and pepper hair, if you're lucky, organized. And he has a monthly concert series. The local arts are vibrant there. And he really is a shepherd to these people who are very dedicated to this work. So it seemed a great fit. Randy and Shura came actually by way of the Ronstadt family to begin with, the Ronstadt generations. The brother of Linda, Michael Ronstadt, brought his boys to Common Ground. And we established these friendships, and then they said, well, you've got to meet Shura. So Shura came out, and then I met Randy, and a number of Common Ground performers have gone to take part in the border fair there, which happens in January, and also performed in the concert series. Well, finally, we just said, well, it looks like we should launch Common Ground on the border, and we've been working on that. Everyone, I mean, this place is organized. I thought, well, this will be hard, but they're already organized. They can handle this easy. So the 13th and 14th of March will be Common Ground on the border. And I think Randy can give us a thumbnail sketch of it.
Yeah, it really is trying to take the traditions that are the folk traditions and history and culture of the border and try and lift them up. We'll have the history of the U.S.-Mexico border. We'll have people that talk about Padre Kino, who was an important missionary in that area. We'll have people that come and talk about the folk arts. We'll have mariachi. We'll have, you know, there's just so many musical traditions. The Tohono O'odham is a Native American tribe that really is
on the border.
Right, mm-hmm. On the border. Actually, they're a tribe goes on both sides of the border. Their native land is on both sides of the border. And so to have all of that rich tradition and culture in a, you know, trying to find what's the common ground here. And we do it through the arts, through activism, through understanding our deeper culture.
Well, this is going to be, as I said, we're going to get down there when you have this festival and the common ground goes to the border. We want to go with to the border and broadcast from there. This is very exciting that you're actually making that leap. I think it's a really important thing to do. Between things like this and Leah Gilmore's Ujamaa efforts around the world, this is important stuff.
We have another thing happening. It's our Common Ground on the Hill Veterans Initiative. And this year, 30 scholarships for veterans anywhere from Vietnam through the Gulf War through Iraq and Afghanistan. And what we're finding is that these young men and women return to us with broken hearts. And a wonderful Marine veteran named Josh Heisel, who toured with Stephen Stills and the Ronstadts, is now heading this up. And we have a committee. So, as I say, we had 30 scholarships, and these veterans are saying things like, this is the first time we've felt accepted since we came home. And some of them have been home for 10 years.
So, and I'm glad you raised these issues. I want people to get a sense that the Common Ground, the Hill, and the work that it does over these last 16 years, and this is the 16th annual festival this year, this July 13th, 14th, for the music, but the last 2 weeks in workshops like these, people from the border being there, giving workshops, there are music workshops that people are giving as well, learning guitar and other instruments. And this is a really important institution in our community, and you can hear from the work they're doing with veterans on the border. Our dear friend Leah Gilmore, who's on the show a lot, who co-hosts with me, one of our great artist activists, she's deeply involved with Common Ground on the Hill. So that's just the circle we're bringing and building, this kind of multiracial world for social change that comes out of Common Ground on the Hill. And it's, I think, just want to make sure that you all join us there this weekend.
Could I mention one more thing?
No.
No, okay. Well, then it's over. Well, another thing that we have going on is Common Ground on Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg. And Seminary Ridge, of course, was the first day of the Battle of Gettysburg. And unlike so many students of the war, we are not there to study the war. We're going to study war no more. What we are about is studying the ongoing ramifications of war and slavery, you know, how that impacts us now. That war is not over.
And when does that take place?
That's August 2nd and 3rd. And we will have the Delmarva singing and praying bands there, you know, which is a very early form of African-American song worship. Sparky and Rhonda Rucker. The Veterans Initiative will be there. We're going to be talking about the veterans of the Civil War and how that affected our federal economy, and how it just goes on and on and on.
We'll have to get to that one too, won't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
So, Pablo, why don't you, what are you about to sing for us?
I'm going to sing a song called No Color in Your Eyes. And during the 17th century, when the conquistadores were in all over the Americas, they did away with color paintings to reduce the racism that was being there. And when I heard this from this speaker, I decided to write this song. Mm-hmm. And I carried the first lyrics for about 20 years.
Had a glass applauding all the producers
from across the border.
From across the border.
Right.
Thank you all. Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you,
Peregrina. This is a beautiful piece, and we'll also link to his CDs, by the way, when we get on our website today at stanishow.org.
Thank you.
And you can buy his CDs and see them as well, see what he's doing. So, I mean, I think that this is the time we have left here. I really was happy we did this show the way we did it today, because I want people to get a sense of a part of the world that we don't usually see or hear, that we don't usually know about, we don't talk about, that's not something that happens in Baltimore a great deal, and also to get a feel for what really happens at Common Ground on the Hill, yeah. The power of Common Ground on the Hill that is more than just the music.
Right. Yes. I mean, inspired dialogue in the midst of the arts, and some great stuff happens.
So, and again, we want folks to get there.
Yeah. We want you to get outside the Beltway. I know you feel a little scared about getting outside the Beltway. It's okay. We're friendly out there. And take 795 to 140. And if you want to come to the festival, just follow the signs to the hospital. And we're right
that
next.
That doesn't sound so good.
Well, but we're right next to the hospital. We're at the Carroll County Farm Museum. And four stages of music, wine and beer garden. And yet it's a very family-friendly festival.
And I have a lot of upbeat music that people will dance other than what I'm singing. I mean,
yeah.
Play some cumbias and mambos. And
right. We have a wonderful band from Scotland, the Paul McKenna Band.
Right, they're playing on Saturday as well, right?
Yeah, hottest young band out of Scotland. And then there's also Common mm-hmm. Ground on the Town at 9 o'clock, and it spills out into the streets in Westminster on Saturday night. Professor Louis from the band will be there. It's a long list. The Ronsatz. The Ronstadt family will be there. And then there's Walt Michael and Company, but, you know,
they'll be there
always
well. They're always
there.
They're always there.
Right.
And we're going to hear as we go out, before we go out, on the way out, we'll hear more of Buckwheat Zydeco. Headlines on Saturday night. Sunday we'll have C.J. Chenier, Zydeco's crown prince.
Yeah.
I love C.J. Chenier. He's one of my favorites, always has been. Then Darla New Orleans, Little Queen will be there as well, Little Queenie. And we used to have battles of Zydeco here. We have Bojack and Buju Chavez. We had a battle of the Zydeco Kings here in the 1990s.
Oh, really?
With both of them on the air, yeah. So they're both passed away, but Zydeco is still alive.
Who won?
I'm not getting in the middle of that one. That's not one of those two. Bojack is a big man. So
yeah.
And Zydeco has his own tradition, which also comes from
the border.
The border area, East Texas, West Louisiana. It was this marriage of Cajun and African American and cowboys together and black and Indian cowboys together making this unique music. People don't realize that it had these black and Indian roots who were cowboys from East Texas who created this Zydeco music that is just, we don't realize the power of that music came from that area as well.
Yeah.
About the mingling of cultures, Zydeco wouldn't exist.
You know, one of the things that happened at Common Ground is that Shura was teaching a class, and she found that one of the people attending the class was on scholarship from essentially Latino workers working here in Gettysburg, had passed across the border and walked right through her neighborhood. So we are here. You know, this is the border is here, and that's the point. You know, when we see
here.
These people working among us, we are in the border.
Go ahead, Pablo.
I just said I have some videos on YouTube, music videos, and then I'm just started working on my website. But you can go on YouTube and look for Pablo Pellegrina, and we have a Volver Volver that we have over 7,000 hits.
Wow!
I do a duet with this lady, and it's awesome. So anyway,
we're definitely gonna put that on our website.
Sure.
And we'll hit that up, and we want folks to call 410-857-2771. Or go to commongroundonthehill.org to check out. And don't miss this. All this information will be on our website because you really want to be there and be part of this. And I want to thank our guests, Walt Michael, founder and executive director of Common Ground on the Hill, artist in residence at McDaniel College. Thanks for everything you can do, brother. Good to have you back
thank
in the studio.
You.
Always good to see
thanks
you.
Thanks for being here, being present.
The Reverend Randy Mayer and Shura Wallen and Pablo Pellegrina from Green Valley Samaritan. From the border, good to have you with us as well,
thank
Mr. Gill.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for what you do there.
Thank
it means
you.
A lot.
All right.
And brother, it was good. Your music is wonderful.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Appreciate
it. Enjoy the CD. Thank you.
We're going to go out with a little bit more Buckwheat Zydeco, slowly, so I can read you some underwriting that's really important to keep us going here. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com. And we're also sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or 877-462-7555. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Henry, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our interns are Lila Warshaw, Albert Phillips Jr., Danielle Dupree, Kamani Selden, Sinead Hawkins, Alexander Rudy. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cut. Oh, Michelle Zai, she's with us for a couple days here, working back with the ZM, which is good to have her here. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Please go to steinershow.org, find out about our guests and the work they do, connect to Common Ground on the Hill, and join us there this weekend. And you can also download all of our work and listen to it on iTunes now. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Stay tuned for Michelle Martin. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Faith in every star.